Welcome to the Legacy Builders Podcast. I'm Ted.
And I'm Lisa.
And we're the Legacy Builders. And you're also a Legacy Builder because you're here tuning in and committing to building a lasting legacy. So today's topic is really exciting. I'm really pumped to talk about it. We're talking about the idea of...
dividing and conquering.
So, dividing and conquering.
Yes.
What do you mean when you say that?
I'm talking about looking at the different areas of your life and really figuring out which things you can... do yourself, which things would be better being done by someone else. Maybe it's a spouse or a significant other. We can talk about how we're doing that. Maybe you have some kiddos. Maybe you're hiring out some of the things that you have going on in your life. We're just going to talk about this idea because sometimes it's so easy to feel like either you should do it all or sometimes you divide and conquer different ways in different seasons. So how do you figure out what works for you? So a lot of different stuff today. We're just going to be chatting through our life. So let's see what happens.
So I think first of all, one of the things that comes to mind for me with dividing and conquering is this idea of only doing what only you can do. Really thinking and zeroing in on what are the things that I excel at, that I'm passionate about, that I know are very, very bring high value to the people around me.
Yep.
Sometimes that means, letting go a little bit of your ego and realizing there are things that I do that I'm not actually that good at that, maybe I need to take some advice from somebody else. And, when they say don't quit your day job, they mean that, like, don't do this other thing because you're not that good at it. Mm-hmm. but zeroing in on that first,
yep.
Because you're not going to be able to figure out how to divide and conquer if you can't first learn which things you're going to set down.
Which things you're going to set down, which things you are great at that really only you can do in that capacity. And then really which things, some things in life aren't even worth dividing and conquering because they're just not worth your time at all.
Hmm.
I think a lot of times it's so easy to feel like I don't have enough time to do all the different things, when in reality, about 30% of things on your plate, maybe you shouldn't be doing them. Maybe it's not a matter of having enough time. Maybe it's a matter of learning to say no.
So that's really, really good.
So what we found is in different seasons, we divide and conquer in different ways. So I'm going to throw this over to you. So you have to think about this.
Okay.
What does this season right now feel like it requires of us, like in terms of dividing and conquering, and how is it different than what we've done like 10 years ago?
This is a drastically different season. I've just been thinking about the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And what my role has looked like in the last 6 weeks is complete like opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of like the traditional, like which roles the dad does and which roles the mom does, that kind of stuff. Like, we really did, like, a hard flip because we realized in this season, we really need Lisa to be out there going, and just crushing it as much as possible. And honestly, a lot of the changes that we have made recently were, in the last year or two, have been so that I could see the kids more and be more like a dad and, be more present as a dad anyway. So it's kind of like, for us, we were like, we need to divide in a different way than we ever have before. This means that I now have the kids' insurance cards. That's really different.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the kids were on our insurance. Oh, I'm just kidding. I knew that. But I didn't know where to find those things.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff, I'm setting up appointments. I'm making sure that, the kids' meals are being made and, like, that stuff. It's really, really different. I enjoy it thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I talked a minute ago about doing the things you're passionate about and that you're good at, like, there are things about kind of being like a stay-at-home dad figure type, even though we're both working from home.
Mm-hmm.
That's part where I'm like, that's the part that I'm championing right now.
Yep.
Is the home side of things.
Yep. Now, the interesting thing about it is the reason I said about 10 years ago, it's because that's when we started really trying to figure out how to partner together. We started having kids, and I really fell into the role of being the stay-at-home mom. I took care of our home. I worked a little bit. Ted was out working most of the time. And the thing is, in that season, that was the right choice for us.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, it started to shift a little bit. where we realized that I wanted to work. Ted wanted to be home a little bit more. We were kind of finding a new balance between both of us managing a little bit more of the household, me working a little bit more. But it was because in that season, we were united in our decision that dividing and conquering was going to look a little bit different. So then about a year and a half ago, when Ted's job changed, when we chose to bring him home more so that we could work together and really start launching this, we still functioned in the same way that we had for years. I did more of the kid stuff. I did more of the schooling. I was managing more of the house. And finally, Ted, we had a conversation and Ted just said, you know what, this is like, that's the part that I've been wanting to do. And I had to be willing to relinquish my control over those areas. Because I can say I'm willing to divide and conquer, but actually dividing means that you are giving up control over the part that you are agreeing to divide.
Yeah, because I want to be able to do those things, but I also want to have autonomy. You know,
right.
I don't want to be micromanaged with the way I do the
and
dishes.
It doesn't help me to divide and conquer and then micromanage other people.
Right, doesn't save you any time.
Right.
Micromanaging is unhelpful to everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just been really interesting because a lot of our roles have shifted dramatically. And part of it is just the season of our life and what we feel like we are trying to build in that season has changed. And when your why changes, the stuff coming out of it changes.
That's really, really good. So Lisa, talk about relinquishing control. Like, how did you do that? How are you in the process of doing that? Explain that a little bit.
Oh, gosh. That's been an interesting process for me because in some ways, some areas of life, I'm just very laid back and kind of, you know, whatever. Ted recently decided that we should hire a house cleaner, which is one of the best things we've ever done. Mm-hmm. We got someone who just comes in once a month and takes care of all of our scouring and we just maintain. And that was an easy relinquish of control because I was paying someone else. I knew if they didn't do a good job, I could fire them and find someone else. Like, they're professionals. I trust them coming in to do it. That's a very easy relinquishing of control for me because at the end of the day, like, it's not going to be so bad that it's going to be, like, really hurt our family, mm-hmm. you know? Right. On the other hand, relinquishing control with some things like schooling or you scheduling doctor's appointments or that kind of stuff, part of it was me being willing to show you how to do it, which it's not that I don't think you can. It's that I forget all the steps to doing it until you actually start showing someone else how to do it.
Yeah.
And then actually trusting that, hey, Ted's going to do this. Then the minute I handed it over to you, I basically had to take my hands off completely because I'm kind of either all or nothing. I want to know all the details about how every piece of it's getting scheduled, or I just need to let you do the thing and just keep me informed what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm doing an okay job.
No, you're doing a fantastic job. I mean, it helps that, you know, like you said, you're kind of an all or nothing person once you kind of got me going. And if I need like a resource or something, I can't find. You're helpful when I ask for it,
right.
But I mean, you've been very intentional about just kind of like blocking it out when you hear me. Like, your Lisa's desk is, you know, 8 feet away from me. So like when I called into the insurance place, I could tell you were having a hard time not just like wanting to like take the phone.
I wanted to like talk and be like, remember to ask about this and here's this and here's this.
And she just kind of like, nope, I'm just going to let him do it. And I did a good job.
Right.
I got it figured out.
But there are two big pieces of trust here. The first is you have to trust that the other person is going to come to you if they need you. They might not need you. And that's just kind of a small blow to your ego. But you have to recognize that it's important to just say, you might not need me, and it's probably good that you don't need me. But then second, knowing that each appointment that you make is a way that I can be like, yeah, Ted's got that. I literally don't have to think about that again in the future.
Hmm.
Until our roles possibly adjust in a different direction.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk for a little bit? Because right now we're very much talking about being married and partnering.
Sure.
Why don't you talk a little bit about maybe someone who's single, how they can do some of the stuff, or mm-hmm. like employees or different, you know, like the other types of ways that you can divide and conquer, even if you're not necessarily informing the people around you that you are dividing.
I do want to do that. But first I do want to say one other important thing. There's a trap that you can fall into with divide and conquer where you assume that they're doing the thing.
Yeah.
That they said they were going to do, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to inspect what you expect. Doesn't mean that you micromanage every little thing, but it's important to just, you know, hey, is that thing on this? Is that thing on the calendar? Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? That kind of stuff. And that's just important because then you're actually able to really let it out of your brain. Because if you're wondering if it's on the calendar, it's still taking up space in your head.
Yeah. And you have to learn to inspect in a way that makes the other person feel respected.
Yeah.
Because if I just came to you and was like, hey, I'm guessing you forgot, but did you do that thing? Like, that's not going to help build.
Heck no. I did make the macaroni and cheese.
Build the trust in our relationship. But if it's just casual, like, hey, are those eye appointments scheduled? You're like, yep. Oh, okay. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. And like, So, okay. Let's bring it into the realm a little bit less of married couple partnering together and talk more about, you know, employee-employer situation. This is something that I see an awful lot. Like, when an employer or a business owner is just so crazy busy. Their schedule's completely booked. They don't have any space for socializing, family, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And it's because they have this this situation where they can't really let go of any of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to do it all. Mm-hmm. Or they have to do the max amount that they can do. And they only hire things out when they just have absolutely nothing left to give. Or they just have to say no to new clientele, new business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't think either of those are a great situation. If you're having to wait until you are completely shot and exhausted and have nothing left to give to your business at all, there are probably a lot of other parts of your life that are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then your business suffering and not growing. If there's clientele out there that wants to use your services,
mm-hmm.
you kind of like... It's a responsibility. You've created a product. You created a service that is so good that it demands other people's attention. They really mm-hmm. want to take advantage of that. So on some sense, you're kind of doing other people a disservice by not offering them what you can offer them. So that personal responsibility, I think, needs to go outside of, is my product, you know, am I just going to offer what I can offer? And like, it's almost like it becomes more selfless. How can I serve more people better?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think sometimes it can become a fear of, if I hire 5 people and they all figure out how to do different aspects of my job, am I still needed? And I think that there's a lot of identity and a lot of value that we can feel from what we bring to the table.
Absolutely.
And so when we choose to hand off a piece of ourselves in that capacity, it can start to feel very, oh my gosh, what do I really have to offer? And do I have something of value? And that can be scary. Taking this same concept, but just a little bit outside of business owner, the same thing is true even if that individual is functioning in their home. If they have taken on as much as they possibly could and basically making it so they have zero margin for the people or the relationships around them, it becomes a bottleneck, not just of the product that they're trying to sell, but of their time, their capacity, their ability to connect, their ability to be present, just in any relationships, whether it's with their family or with friends outside.
Yeah, really. I mean, this is a capacity mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but just the idea that, you know, you want to increase your capacity. And when you learn how to delegate and actually like duplicate yourself
mm-hmm.
and divide and conquer, your capacity goes up. And when your capacity goes up, you know, you're able to serve more people,
mm-hmm.
you know, make more money if that's, you know, your end game, help, you know, make a change in the world, all these things. And your legacy, really, at the end of the day, like, our legacies need to be a divide and conquer mindset. Otherwise, they end with when we pass away.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of a legacy is that you are equipping other people to do what you cannot do. And basically, the reason that you cannot do it at that point in time is because you are no longer living.
It's true. The divide and conquer concept is something that we have to get really good at. Mm-hmm. If we're going to build a legacy, all of us, we all have to get very good at the divide and conquer mindset and get very good at being effective in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just saying, oh, you know, I'm divide and conquering today. Like, actually conquering, not just dividing.
Yeah, not just dividing, but actually conquering in the area that is yours to conquer.
Like, I was doing the school with the, we homeschool our kids. I was doing school with the kids today, and like, we slayed it.
Mm-hmm.
We got so much accomplished today. It was incredible. And they felt great about themselves. You know, Josh was just like all excited about his ability to do math. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you more about that later. But it's just
it's cool to see though. And for me, I could tell when I walked into that part of our house, I could tell that the kids were excited. Ted was excited. Our little girl came out and showed me something that she had been practicing. And for me,
she wrote her name for the first time today.
For me to see all of that happening while I was not involved, I could have felt very, oh, they don't need me. But I walked in and I had been in the office working today, doing other stuff that needs to get done for our family so that we are working, we have income, like all those different things. And I walked into the house and seeing my family thrive in that portion of it, and knowing that I have been thriving at the same time, just in a different capacity, I cannot tell you how great it felt. It was so exciting. And it's cool because Ted and I, we shift. It's not just one of us is all house and the other one's all business. Like, we have to ebb and flow together. So communication is so important. But once you're on the same page, it really changes everything. Like, I'm so glad we had this conversation just a few weeks ago about we seem to make some changes.
So what are some final thoughts that you have? We can kind of start getting into some like really good handles.
Yeah, good handles. The first thing that, I mean, my first final thought, I'm going to have a couple, so just give me like a couple minutes.
We got time.
I know, I'm looking at it too. My first thought is really know where you are finding your value, because the concept of dividing and conquering is very difficult if you are finding your value in your work. It totally can be done, but you need to be aware of it. Because if you're not aware of the internal struggle that you're having, then it's really easy to just say, oh, it's impossible, it's too hard, I shouldn't really do that, I'm just going to keep doing it all. Like, you have to set yourself up for success. And sometimes setting yourself up for success is acknowledging that's going to be a challenge. Second, figure out who around you need to communicate with. That might be a spouse, it might be your kids, because you can divide and conquer and have your kids take some of that and conquer in their own rights.
Oh, absolutely. If they're over the age of three, they should really be contributing, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, our oldest could do his own laundry by the time he was five. Mm-hmm. So we are very, like, they should be contributing. But really having those conversations, figure out who you need to communicate with, and figure out if you need to hire employees. Now, saying that, I'm not necessarily talking about employees in the typical W-2 sense. When we hired someone to come in to just take care of our house once a month, literally it's like 2 hours, and they only do our main rooms, you know, we just need to figure out what's the one thing that someone else could do that would really free up our mental space so that we can thrive better. Mentally, I count that person as a pseudo employee. Because I'm paying them for their time.
You're contracted.
Yeah. So when we're talking about employees, we're not just talking about people that we have a W-2 with, but just that mindset of you can really outsource what you're doing. Really good. What about you?
The final thought that I kind of like landed on here is that you really do have to be ready to let go.
Yeah.
So you can get going. Yeah. Because like, you have to.
I like that. You can't get going and then let go. You have to let go so that you can go.
Right. Because it's like, You want everything to be done just the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you know, as the leader of an organization or the leader of your home, I was just thinking about this specifically. I mean, raising kids is so much, I'm sure, like, you know, running an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can do the dishes and I can do them fast. My 7-year-old takes 5 times longer. He gets distracted. He gets frustrated. There are lots of different things. They don't get as clean.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, he's going to get better at it.
Yep.
And like, I have to let go of the idea of dishes getting done in 15 minutes so that we can actually divide and conquer. So like, you can't divide and conquer and assume that things are going to be at the exact same level. There's going to be some give that you're going to have to just accept.
Mm-hmm.
But then from there, raise the level.
Yeah. And just so you know, if you're thinking right now, well, no one can do that as good as I can, you might be right. But that doesn't mean that it's worthy of your time.
Absolutely.
So it's okay to hand those things off to someone who's going to do it just a little bit less so that you are freeing yourself up to that, to do the absolute best things.
Yeah, and it really does span so many different areas in life. And it spans, you know, into the idea of building a legacy. We got to make sure that we are allowing ourselves to relinquish control on the things that eventually we're going to have to relinquish control anyway. We might as well get good at it now.
Get good at it now and get the systems set up.
So question for you guys to kind of ponder is, what's one area that you know that you need to delegate or divide and conquer on, or maybe hire out an employee or subcontract someone for your home to be able to actually see some really good progress moving forward? Let that percolate. Let that thought and question kind of go over in your mind. Yep. And again, I'm Ted.
And I'm Lisa.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Builders Podcast.